Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Debbie Ford on the topic, The Shadow of the Single Life, Unblocking Your Inner Barriers and Opening Up to Love. Debbie Ford is an internationally recognized expert in the field of personal transformation. She is the best-selling author of 8 books and been a transformational coach, speaker, and teacher for more than 20 years. Debbie is the creator of the renowned Shadow Process Workshop, the executive producer of the Shadow Effect transformational documentary, and founder of the Ford Institute, the world-renowned personal and professional training organization.
For those of us who are unfamiliar with the shadow, how do you explain this?
Well, the great Swiss psychologist Carl Jung coined the term the shadow. And the shadow is really the part of us that's our unconscious part. The part of us that we try to hide, deny, ignore, the part of us that most of us knows in a more intimate way than we can actually imagine, because it's a part of us that we struggle with. It's a part of us that is our drivers to self-sabotage, to blocks, to fear. And so when I talk about the shadow, and especially when we're talking about the shadow of the single life, we're really looking at not what's in our conscious minds, but what might be driving us that is part of our internal programming that we're aware of, or maybe we're not.
So, Debbie, how does the shadow show up for singles who are struggling or resigned about love?
Well, struggling and resignation, Arielle, those are two great words because, you know, that's really the shadow's job. The shadow is the opponent that we have to at some point, you know, turn around and face and take our power back from. So it shows up in the single life, I think, for people who can't, you know, are in this conversation that they can't find love or there's nobody out there for them or... And all of these beliefs, these really set beliefs, I would call them shadow beliefs, because shadow beliefs are the kind of these righteousness that we hold on to. We're sure they're the truth about us. And so we can't ever get outside the box to find the love we want because, you know, the shadow might be saying you're unworthy of love or undeserving of love, or you're going to wind up with somebody like your father or your mother, and, you know, you better stay away from that or you're going to get hurt again. And then there's that whole relationship that broke your heart, maybe. It could have happened when you were in junior high school in a relationship that you don't even think about anymore, or it could have happened, you know, in your divorce. And so, you know, our shadows start to build up a story about who we are, what we can have, what we cannot have, you know, how far we can go. And they keep us in these repetitive patterns. And so, you know, when, because you and I are so close and we have a lot of, you know, people who train with me now are studying with you and wanting to know about, you know, how they can create the love of their life. You know, they find themselves bumping up against this wall that really has no room to break through. Like, love couldn't really come in if it wanted to. They can't even spot it anymore. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to, you know, but you don't want to succumb to it. Because if you succumb to it, then you are validating the very belief, the very block, the very shadow that will keep you from finding your soulmate, the love of your life.
You know, Debbie, I think we forgot to tell people that we're sisters.
Oh, really?
Well, there may be some people on the call who don't know that. So, yes, Debbie Ford is my little sister.
I am her little sister. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. And I was also the guinea pig for the shadow process long ago.
She was a great guinea pig, everybody. She had a lot of shadows there.
Yes, I did have a lot of shadows. So how does dealing with the shadow lead to finding love?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I was thinking about this morning that, you know, love, we say we're looking for love, but yet love starts at home. Love starts within ourselves. And most people have so many parts of themselves that they don't like, that they judge, that they make wrong. So the love, we have to start inside. We have to say, how am I going to love myself? How am I going to love and accept who I am? Because the outer world is merely a reflection of our inner world. And I know we're going to talk more about that later, but, you know, how that works is that, you know, whatever I truly believe deep inside of myself, whatever I've committed to are kind of my inner rules, even if I don't like them, you know, or I adopted them from a friend or a mother or father, that, you know, I will follow these rules unconsciously because, you know, that's just what I do. So, you know, it's so imperative that we take our power back and we say, how can I love myself? How can I accept and embrace these parts of myself? How can I open my heart? Because shadow work is about love. I mean, it doesn't sound like it. You know, people are scared of it. But it's about learning to love and embrace and have compassion for the beliefs that we hold. You know, it's about having compassion for the experiences that have led us to form these deep judgments or put up all these barriers to love. So to me, shadow work is, they say it's the work of the heart warrior, because it's the deepest form of love, to love what you've judged, to love what you've resisted, to love what you've hated. And so I think that automatically, I mean, we've all seen it, right? When somebody just walks out and they exude love from the inside out, we know they're a magnet for love, you know? And somebody else walks out and, you know, they're angry or resigned or there's nobody for me, they're blind. It's like putting blinders on. They can't see. They can't find the love because the love has to start inside our own hearts. And that's what I love about what you're doing in the Soulmate Summit, because it's imperative in the process people will see, you know, the shadows that are keeping them really bound to some past experience that is lacking love, which means it's lacking light. It's lacking us knowing that there's wisdom and brilliance in every experience that we've had, and that those tough and difficult times in love weren't meant to shut us down. They were actually meant to open us up.
So, Debbie, it's really powerful what you're sharing. And where would we begin to get started with this? Because I know for myself, when I was in a process of wanting to cause a breakthrough around love, that there were so many, I didn't really know where to start.
That's true. There are a lot, and it can be a daunting task. So, you know, I, in my work, always go after the most difficult ones, because I figure if we can get through the hard ones, the other ones are easy. And so self-honesty, of course, is the most important thing, being honest about really where you are, doing self-examination. You know, would I want to be in a relationship with me? That's probably the first question I would ask. And if the answer is, you know, no, or maybe not, you know, I would start to look at, well, why? Why? What are my habits? What are, you know, the things I do that I wouldn't want to be around? You know, what are the moods? What are, you know, my controlling issues? What are, where can't I give? What do I have too much of in my life or not enough of that wouldn't attract the kind of person that I would want to be with? So we can start like that if we're looking. You know, we can also start and look at some of the experiences where we've been shut down and hurt. And, you know, I love it because I teach so much. I have so many people who tell me all the time, oh, I've already looked at that. But there's so many layers to this. as we all know. This isn't a one shot, oh, I go and, you know, I see that when I was, you know, 19, my boyfriend slept with my best girlfriend. But that was 30 years ago. I'm over it. But yet you can feel the anger in there. So we want to start to dig around and make a list of the experiences and the beliefs that are, you know, would be blocking us from love. And are we the one that, you know, we want to be in a relationship with? I'm always shocked because I think that a lot of people's immediate response to that question is, yes, I would love to have me. But when they really look, they wouldn't.
So is there, besides making this first list, what would be the next step?
Well, I wanted to talk about what I call underlying commitments. And what underlying commitments are these internal commitments that we make, and some of them at a very young age, that drive our choices and drive what we can see. They drive our perspectives. They drive our experience of life. And Ariel, you and I were talking about this, that, you know, it seems sometimes that my work really conflicts with the law of attraction, because the law of attraction might say, you know, build it and it will come and have your image and your vision boards and do all these things. But when it isn't coming, it just means that you have what I'll call a first commitment. That means that you're committed to that as your priority to something else. And so if we start to say, well, I've been looking for a relationship for 2 years or 7 years and I haven't found it, then we know that really there's an underlying commitment, that there's something you're more committed to. And it could show up like maybe you grew up in an alcoholic home and you had, you know, you saw the abuse between your mother and your father and you decided, I am never going to have that. Well, when a child makes a decision like that, which a lot of our underlying commitments are made when we're very young at an unconscious level, we're not even aware of that, that when we do that, then, you know, something happens inside where we start to shape our experiences in the outside world to match this commitment that we have in our inner world. And so I think that this is imperative for us to examine. Is there something I'm more committed to? You know, or maybe it's something that's going on now. Maybe you want to write a play, or maybe you want to travel around, and you know if you're in a relationship that will maybe stifle you, that you won't be able to do what you want to do. So you make this commitment, you have this commitment to do something other than have your soulmate, but you keep pretending because, you know, you have that aching, that longing, but you don't even understand that there's just something more important to you. Mm. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, actually, it did. But I think maybe what would help is if there was, you know, maybe a story of somebody you know or we know that, you know, was saying one thing, but the underlying commitment was something else, and then they weren't getting anything.
Well, I have somebody, a friend of mine right now who's been, you know, for 3 years saying, you know, every week I have to listen to the story of, you know, why can't I find love and why isn't there anybody for me and, you know, that whole thing that in a lot of suffering and a lot of pain, and really it's taken almost 2 years of me saying, you know, well, there's something else that you're really committed to. There's something else that you're really committed to. And what she finally found is that she made a commitment that she would never end up like her mother. Now, her mother had a lousy relationship. Her mother lived in a lot of pain. Her mother, even though her mother would probably say something different, you know, because her experience is that she had a loving relationship, although it wasn't the easiest one. So, you know, she realized that she could never find a relationship because she was comparing everybody she went out with to her father and to her parents' relationship and what it might be like. And of course, when we do that, we're just comparing to the past. It doesn't mean that it would have anything to do with us. But she was committed to not, and this is usually what it is, it's a not. I'm not going to have this. You know, we had one of my coaches who just got married, and he came in. He was never going to be married again. He was divorced because his wife decided that she liked women, which was absolutely devastating to him, and he was going to be single forever. And I just laughed and thought, this guy's not going to be single for 6 months. And, you know, I just kept working with him and working with him, and what are you really committed to, and what are you really committed to? And what he saw is, you know, he's committed to playing it safe. And inside a plane, love isn't safe. You know, love requires vulnerability. It requires taking risks. And when he was willing to see that that was just something that he made up that was limiting his ever opening his heart again, then, of course, he met somebody and got married and has been married for many years. So this is how it works. We have to be open to seeing, you know, what else might be a bigger commitment. And it's usually on an emotional level. Although we do get people who, you know, have a lot of money, somebody in Hollywood will come and they can't, you know, make their relationship work because, you know, they're committed to holding on to everything they have. And in Hollywood, we know, you know, if you have a lot of money and a lot of power, probably you're going to lose some of that if your relationship doesn't work out. So somebody can be committed to, you know, holding on and keeping all of their assets. And, of course, can they really experience love? And so love requires trust. Love requires, you know, seeing beyond. And not that you can't protect yourself in the ways that, you know, you can, but none of us can be certain.
Mm. So, Debbie, is it just a matter of trying to make it conscious and then just letting it go, making a new choice?
Well, I think that making it conscious is the beginning, Claire, because, of course, we can't do anything with it until we do make it conscious. But one of the issues that people don't do, because they think all I have to do is make it conscious, is that to really heal something at a deep and profound level inside of your unconscious, you must be able to find the gift. You must be able to see the wisdom of that experience. So after we make it conscious, we have to realize that there's something in that underlying commitment that actually is trying to teach us something or protect us or guide us, because all of the shadow is always trying to get us to move to a new level of consciousness, a new vibration, new experiences. And as we all know, most people are living the same life. Maybe it's a better life, a cleaner life, but most people live the same life, you know, after the age of 35 in most ways. So if we do this kind of work and we get the lessons, like there's spiritual lessons in them. Like when this man found out that his whole setup inside was to make him feel safe, he had to go and see all the ways that he feels unsafe, which can be uncomfortable. He had to go back and clean things up and change things in his life so that he could feel safer in the ways that he had control over, not necessarily in the relationship, but he could see how he doesn't keep himself safe. So we have to go deeper than just bringing it into our awareness. We actually have to be able to say, wow, I am so grateful for this underlying commitment that I've held, because it has now given me this whole other opportunity in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Debbie, I was going to say, Debbie, do you have a process you can take the listeners through to sort of help them experience this?
I can, Ariel. Would you like me to do that?
That would be great.
Okay, great. So if you're sitting listening, I would just say if you have a pen or a paper nearby, it'd be good, or to find a quiet place now to do this process. And we'll take about 10 minutes. And just use it. It doesn't have to be some serious, heartbreaking experience. Just use it as, you know, excitement. Like, ooh, what am I going to find inside? Because there's so many treasures, so many great things buried in your unconscious. And every time you make peace with one of them, it opens up a new reality, a new world. So just give yourself permission to take this time to do a little exploring. And let's see if we can find one of your underlying commitments. And you may not find it right away, but just let it come easy. And maybe tonight or in your dreams or when you wake up in the morning, if you have your intention to find it, it will come, I promise. So wherever you are, just close your eyes, unless you're driving, and take some slow, deep breaths. And just allow your breath to bring all your energy into your internal world. And just invite an intention to see something or learn something about yourself that will support you in having more love, more intimacy, more passion in your life. And take another breath. And just imagine that you're floating down deep inside yourself into a quiet place where you have all the answers that you need. And just count from 7 back to 1. And on 1, you'll land in this. Can be a garden or forest, just some place you like to sit and meditate. So 7, focus on your breath. 6, deep inhale. 5, allow yourself to go a little deeper. 4, and your exhale, just letting go. Three, allowing yourself to feel the silence. 2, deep breath and a big exhale. And on 1, just imagine that you're floating into a comfortable, cozy chair. We'll call it your seat of wisdom. And just allow yourself to see if you have a clear image of what you've been hungry for, what you desire. Just use your breath and imagine that there's just a screen right in front of you. And see if your vision is clear on the love that you want. What you've been saying that you want, what you've been thinking that you want. And then take another slow, deep breath. and start to feel the conflict inside. Maybe the fear of not being able to manifest what you want. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's anger and resignation or self-doubt. Allow yourself to feel the conflict between what you say you want, the love that you want, and what's going on right now. And use your breath to just breathe into it without judgment. And then take another slow, deep breath and a big exhale. Again, focus on that screen in front of you and allow yourself to see when you've been disappointed by love. When you've been let down. See what comes into your awareness, maybe where you've been frustrated. It could be love with your family. It could be love with a partner or an ex-partner, even with a child or a good friend. Again, we're just looking around at what might be keeping you stuck in an unconscious pattern that's preventing you from having all the love that you desire. So just breathe in. Allow people's faces or images of experiences that were disappointing, hurtful, painful, sad. Or just unfulfilling. And if you have a paper and pen, give yourself a few moments to make some short notes. If you find yourself resisting because you only want to think a good thought, then just go a little deeper. Really say to yourself, it's safe for me to see what might be keeping me stuck. See if there's any resentments that are filling the love space in your heart. Any place where you feel victimized by love. Just being the observer of what's coming onto that screen, like, interesting. Shadow beliefs that are hidden in our unconscious sometimes want to be lured out. So you would be nice to them and say, come, show me on this screen what might be keeping me from having the love that I desire. What might be keeping me from having more passion or intimacy or sex or whatever it is that you desire around love. Partner, a life mate. and just let yourself finish up and take another breath. Your breath is a great tool to help you digest your experiences, your feelings. And imagine that that screen is clear now. Just take a few breaths to center yourself, to come back into neutral. And as I ask you this next question, just allow the answer to float into your awareness. Don't try. Just invite the answer, even if you don't understand it, or you may get more than one. And then write them down. So ask yourself, if there's something I'm more committed to than my vision of having a soulmate, what would it be? If I have a deeper commitment, then really manifesting and experiencing this love I say I desire, what would that commitment be? And I'm going to ask it one more time, so just let go of anything you've heard. Take another slow, deep breath. Just invite up, if I have an underlying commitment that is more powerful than my vision and commitment to love, what would it be? Could it be that I want to protect myself, protect my time, do something that requires me to have a lot of freedom? Not wind up like my parents or one of my old relationships. Maybe the commitment is to be right about love, being right about all the negative beliefs that you've gathered. Without judgment, just allow it to be there. Just breathe into it like interesting information. I can see I've really been committed to my success rather than having a relationship, or my children rather than having a relationship. So allow it to be there. And on your next breath, just ask that inner guide that's been showing you these images and giving you this information, what powerful action can I take to heal this underlying commitment? What powerful action can you take that would support the healing of this underlying commitment? Is there something that I would have to do? A letter I'd have to write to be complete with the past? Some protection I need to put in place? Something I need to admit to. If something I'd have to forgive myself for, or forgive others. Just find one or two powerful actions that you can take this week to make peace with this underlying commitment. And then one last question. So allow yourself to, again, go deep inside, turning your attention back to really having compassion and opening your heart to what's blocking you from having the love that you desire. Just ask, what would be the lesson or the gift of this underlying commitment that I've held? What is the lesson, the gift, the wisdom of this underlying commitment? What would I need to know to embrace it, to appreciate it, to love that it's been there to protect me in some way? What is the gift or the lesson? Positive information can I walk away with so that I can heal this and open up to a new future in love? And then take another deep breath and thank yourself for whatever information you saw. Really validate the experience of your inner brilliance. If you didn't get all the answers you need, just tell yourself it's safe to get them in the next 24 hours. And to be gentle, you'll be gentle with yourself. And then when you're ready, just fill yourself up with some love and float up, open your eyes. You can make any notes that you desire. And I just want to go back to an earlier conversation that we were having and to remind you that it's about self-love and loving yourself and having compassion for yourself. And you can start right here with those experiences that you saw that might be keeping you from love, and this week to write about each of them and do some kind of ritual where you can release them to the past. You know, if you have some anger, write an angry note to that person. Do not send it. You don't need to send it, but allow yourself to express the emotions that have been stored inside of you, and then you can rip it up, you can flush it down the toilet, you can bury it somewhere far away from where you live. But to choose a ritual and to know that all emotions are welcome, and that if there are things and experiences that are incomplete, that you have the power to complete them just with your intention. And doing something in the outer world, it's about an inner shift and then an outer action. Doing something in the outer world that will signify and ritualize that as the past.
Mm. Thank you so much, Debbie. That was such a powerful process. And my sense is that our listeners can go back and do that process again and again to discover all the different underlying commitments. And how do you know when you've got them all? you'll have an experience of freedom, of there being space, that beautiful place that you were talking about at the beginning of being a magnetic to love. How do you know when you really have actually worked all of that through?
Yeah, there's two things I want to say. One is that God, if we started saying, oh, we got to work all that through, Most of us would never do
it. Well, that's how it feels, right?
I know. So that's why I just want to speak to that. Yeah. You don't have to work it all through. Just do one at a time. And when you feel, because you start to feel the love and the compassion and the openness, and people start to say, wow, you're different. You feel different. Your eyes are lit up. You know, why we have dull eyes is because of the shadow of, you know, and it's all love, whether we don't love our life, whether we don't love our finances, whether we don't love our partners, whether we don't love our bodies, whether we don't love, you know, some result. It's all, right, always coming back. So, yeah, people can do the process, you know, as many times as they're inspired to do it. The thing that I really want to encourage people to just take one right now and do the whole process and complete it. And to start to feel how different you feel and start to see, wow, I can be just love. Because when you're in that love space, you can love a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. There's not just that one person that you'll never find. That's just a lie. And we have to bust our lies.
Well, and I love also the part of the process where you're connecting with a gift that this has been, and the wisdom that's actually underlying it. Can you share some examples about the kinds of gifts that you see are in these shadows?
I just see all of our dreams. I mean, the mm-hmm. ultimate gift is that our really true heart's desires, when we're not manifesting it, it's because we're manifesting something else, right? We're always manifesting. We're always creating. So if we're not creating what our heart's desire is, we're usually creating something from the past. So the greatest gift is that you don't have to keep living your past over and over again, that you can actually, you become creative. You become creative in love. You become open. I can't tell you how many people I've invited to go on to dating sites and to start asking around. They don't want to do that because they're closed, they're shut, they're shame, whatever it is. So as we start to heal that, then we see possibilities that we've never seen before. So I see people fall in love. Ariel tells me, you know, there's thousands of stories. I find people who move away, you know, they've hated what they're doing, they don't like their job, they don't like where they live. They want to go to live in Italy, and they do it. You know, you start following and trusting your dreams. So if we realize that this energy is either keeping us stuck doing the same, you know, around food. People eat the same food over and over again, and, you know, it's one of the biggest issues people carry around. You know, when I get to, that's a shadow. When I get to the right weight, I'll find the right lover. You know, somebody will be attracted. Make yourself attractive to you now, you know, wherever you are. And, you know, little things can alter our lives. But if we are shut down and we refuse to see the gifts, right? Because me refusing to see the gift of, let's say, my divorce would have had me not write my second book, Spiritual Divorce, which has literally helped millions of people. So, you know, when Arielle and Neil Donald Walsh came to me and said, write that book, I was like, you know, I'm not writing that, because I was angry and pissed off. And I saw really what I was committed to was making my ex-husband wrong. And how was I going to make him wrong? I was going to have a half-crappy life, because then I would be right that he messed me up. But once I started looking for the gifts, then, you know, what came forth was this beautiful body of work called Spiritual Divorce. You know, it wasn't where I was going to take it. I was going to take it, you know, to being mean and angry.
Hey, Debbie, are you up for sharing about why you don't have a soulmate at this point in your life?
Absolutely. I don't have one because I don't want one. I know that sounds so dreadful, doesn't it? Like, especially with you being the soulmate queen. It's so funny. I just borrow yours because you got the best one in the world ever.
And there is enough of him to go around.
There really is. The truth is that there was a time when I became single again, where, of course, I did think that that's what I wanted. I really wanted to have a family. I have a son, for those of you who don't know me, who is now 16 and a half, and his name is Bo. And when I met Bo, when he was born, of course, you know, I knew that there was a kind of love there that I had never experienced before. And when I went looking for my underlying commitment, around, you know, I remember you coming to me one day, Ariel, and say, okay, maybe it's time for you to find a soulmate. And me thinking, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then really looking at what I was committed to. And I made a list of everything I was doing and all my experiences. And what was I committed to? I was committed to bringing my work out into the world. And that is my first commitment still to this day, is to be there for my son until he graduates from high school. So I'll say this out loud. I'll make my sister happy that I will consider then finding my life mate when Bo goes to college. And because I've had this amazing, amazing relationship that when I've had people in my life, it's just not the same with Bo. And, you know, I've really, I think, almost done with, you know, I feel my mission in life, which has been my soulmate. It nourishes me. It's like a great lover, you know. It inspires me. It wakes me up in the morning that, you know, I get to do what I do. So,
you know, Debbie, I want to share a really funny story about my wedding, which was, oh, my God, almost 13 years ago. But I always hated the part of the wedding where the bride has one bouquet and all the single women get in the middle of the dance floor and they fight over it. I always thought that was really just really a horrible scene to watch. So at my wedding, I had lots of mini bouquets made for all the single men and women. And then I took them all to a private part of this property where we were having the celebration. And Brian and I were up on a balcony, and I tossed each single person their own bouquet and let them make their own wish out loud. And, you know, 9 out of 10 were wishing for a soulmate. But when we got to Debbie, when I was about to throw the bouquet to Debbie, Debbie said, I don't want a soulmate. I want a New York Times best-selling book. And that's what she got many times over.
So there you go. I knew way 13 years ago that that was my soulmate for now. And
well, talk just briefly about, you know, the importance of timing and knowing when is the right time for a soulmate.
Well, that's an important point, and I really appreciate that, Debbie, and just you being able to trust your own inner signal that you know, it wasn't your time for that, and to listen to it, and to, you know, because so often, you know, we you know, feel in this culture particularly, there's like a pressure around partnership and marriage. And so, but more and more, there's a desire that we have to actualize our own gifts and take periods of our lives. And so it's certainly not that we need a soulmate to feel fulfilled. So, yeah, I'd love to hear more about that, too.
Yeah, well, I think what you just said, Claire, is really important. And to, you know, it took me a few years to have the confidence. Maybe I said it at Ariel's wedding, but to really have the confidence and own up to that truth, because there was a little bit of shame around it, because I really should want a relationship and should want this. And, you know, I got a lot of those shoulds. But, you know, I see that in today's world, we're evolutionary beings. We're different than we were, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And many of us come in with big gifts to give to the world. And, you know, some of us know that our track requires what it takes. You know, love requires time. It requires energy. It requires weekends. You know, I chose to be able to have that time and those weekends to travel and to be there for, you know, my work. And knowing the love and the kind of relationship I was clear I wanted to have with my son, that also guided me to know that when I was home, I wanted to have my attention with him. And so I think that that's part of the self-honesty for people to look and say, is this my time? Is this in my highest and best interest? What would I have to give up? if anything, to have this love in my life? And am I willing? And, I mean, some people, that's just their shadow. They're not willing because they're stubborn and they're used to sleeping alone or they don't want somebody in their space. So all of that can be dealt with by doing your inner work. But there are people that actually are just not, it's not their time. And if we can admit to that, we can wipe out half of the suffering and get ready for when our time is. You know, like I can think now, like when Bo goes to college, well, where do I want to live? Because I really want to move. So, you know, do I want to live in Europe? Do I want to live in the Caribbean? Do I want to live in New York? And so that would change what I start thinking about in a year or a year and a half. At that time, if I so desire to find that partner.
Well, and that's really powerful what you're sharing, Debbie. And what also strikes me is that in having that awareness, you were also surrounded by many soulmates and much love in your life in all of these other different ways. I think that that's also what some of us really do miss out on when we're alone, we're isolated. We yearn for love because we don't have that tribe of soulmates around us. And can you share about that and that experience and how we can actually create a whole matrix of love and support?
Yes, and I have so much love. I can't even imagine having any more love. You know, in fact, this year I was having some health issues, and I mean, the love just came pouring in. I was like, how do I stop? Not that I don't love the love, but, you know, it's just a lot to hold on to and manage. And I think that's our job, even while we're waiting, even if we know we're waiting for our soulmate, but to create, you know, loving friendships, get involved in loving communities, support other people in finding the love that they're looking for, you know, really getting present. That's what my brother-in-law, Brian, is so brilliant at, is always going to that next height of how can I be love. And, you know, when we don't have loving people around us, of course, it's a reflection, again, of our inner world and can be why, in fact, we haven't found our soulmate. So, you know, I try to wake up in the morning and say, what can I do to love myself today? What can I do to love and accept a part of me? And it may be that it's a great part of me that I've been embarrassed about, which a lot of people, they don't want to own that they're magnificent, that they're beautiful, that they're funny, that they're delicious, that they're sexy. I always make people at the end of the shadow process say, I am hot, sexy, and delicious. And if you felt the vibration, literally, I am hot, sexy, and delicious. What does that take, 3 seconds? Of a room full of 150 people saying it at one time, like the whole room lights up. It works every time in every state, country, wherever I am, small group, large group. It is a vibrational shift. So we have to sometimes not just even work on the dark shadows, but work on the light to bring in that love.
I love that. Can we do that all together? Could you invite everyone
to
join into a round of I'm hot, sexy, and delicious?
Yeah.
I am hot, sexy, and delicious.
Right, we have to do it on three, Ariel.
Okay.
Close your eyes,
everyone,
out there.
Like we're all holding hands.
Okay. Yeah, taking a deep breath, really a deep breath. If you want to stand up in your room, stand up. And on three, we're going to say it together. One, two, three.
I am hot,
sexy,
and delicious.
Right? I mean, just get up in the morning and say that 400 times, you know, one day, you know. I mean, which brings up another point. If in fact, you're hot, sexy, and delicious, you're probably going to dress, if you're a woman, you may dress a little better. You may put on a little makeup or lipstick or do something. Your guy, put on a better shirt, because we're lazy. You know, humans are lazy. So we get in habits, like dress for love, dress to meet people, dress to have people be attracted to you. You know, use it. That's what our physical body is for. go to the gym while you're running. When I run on the treadmill, if I'm feeling down or whatever, I just can just say I'm hot, sexy, and delicious 20 times, and I'm like, oh, wow, I am. So remind yourself that you're a delicious, sexual, beautiful being who is worthy of all the love that you desire.
Mm, beautiful. Just gorgeous. Thank you so much. Debbie, it's just been an absolute honor and delight being with you today. And I know your work has impacted millions of people around the world. And we're so grateful for the generous gift of your time. And I'm wondering if you can share with us what you're working on now, what you're most excited about, and where people can go to connect with you and have an even deeper experience of your work.
Well, I would love people to come to debbieford.com and sign up. I do a weekly, usually pretty outrageous newsletter that is designed to help people really break through whatever is blocking them in every area of their life. And, of course, on Facebook, I'm Debbie Ford. And I have an amazing three-day process called the Shadow Process that I do once to three times a year. This year I'm doing it in San Diego and at Omega Institute and in Copenhagen. And you can always find me. I have training programs. I love training people. I love training people in shadow work. I love training people in how to transform other people's lives. And I've trained 1,000 coaches, and it's really my passion. It's my gift to be able to take people. I did a movie last year called The Shadow Effect with Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, and we also did the book. So if people want to know more about the shadow, reading The Shadow Effect, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers is a great, my first book is a great book to really start off and learn, so to learn to really love each and every aspect of yourself. And the movie, I think, is pretty mind-blowing for people. Like, really get a deep, deep, deep understanding of how our internal world works.
Mm.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much. This was an amazing hour, life-transforming hour, and we're very grateful.
Any final words for our listeners about how they can really create big love in their lives?
Just to take on loving yourself from those toes that you have to the balls of your feet to your knees, even if they're wrinkly like mine are getting, to each and every experience that you have had, knowing that everything that we go through is to bring us closer to that big love. And that if we know that, then we can search and find, where is the love in this? Where is the love? And when we find it, we will be done with that experience, thank God, be able to let go of it and be able to reinvent ourselves. And that's what being human is about. It's not about having the perfect life. It's about having the life that you have and being able to reinvent and transform it each and every day.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
Been a true blessing. Thank you, Claire, and thank you, Arielle, and I can't wait to hear all about the thousands of success stories from the summit.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Arielle Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.